series, and we're going to, next week I'm going to speak on revival. Just felt something stirring in my heart. I'm going to speak on that next week. I've never spoken on revival, so I'm going to speak into something of that, of what that means for us as a church. And then we're going to go into a series on the Holy Spirit as we build into or work towards Pentecost. So again, so sense God is doing something amongst us. So I want to bring some teaching around the work and person of the Holy Spirit. We've got Anita is going to be with us. Anita Williams, great. Some of you will know Anita. She's going to speak for us at the end of May, which is really excited about. But to close off our series this morning on stepping into the story of God, we've got Mark, who's going to come and speak into the invitation, that final part of this story. So let's welcome Mark. Let's give him a big welcome, warm welcome this morning. Bless you, Mark. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Great. Anita's fantastic. You'll really enjoy Anita. By the way, we've got a lot of different nationalities here. So I move, Reverend Vicar, that we have an international something or other sometime. So the only thing I would say is, can we do it when I'm around? With food? Oh, yeah, like that's a given. But if we could do it, I'll bring Yorkshire puddings, because that's, you know, that's international cuisine, isn't it? So, great. Lovely to see you all this morning. I've got a friend I want to talk to you about in a few moments' time. But before I do, I'd just be really interested. Is anybody, well, I'll say the phrase, then I'll explain for people who may not be familiar with this phrase. Have we got any people here that are people watchers? People watchers. Now, for those of you who don't know what people watchers are people that watch people, okay? I really feel there's been some clarity descend upon the meeting this morning. Anybody like people watching? Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? But it can get you into a spot of bother, particularly if you're people watching another people watcher. And then you, sometimes like at traffic lights when you're in your car. And I have been known to people watch, and then they've people watched back. And it's like, I don't know what you do in those moments. It's like, smile, accelerate, even if the lights are red. Just kind of get yourself out of that situation. So I love people watching, but what I enjoy more than people watching is people interacting. And I find that really fascinating, observing the interactions that people have. Have we got any fans of The Traitors here? Yeah, brilliant program, isn't it? If you've never watched Traitors, watch it. For those of you who don't know what Traitors is about, it's about traitors. Once again, I mean, now you're pleased, aren't you? That you brought me to speak. The clarity this morning is incredible. And it's just really intriguing, isn't it, watching the interactions that people have with each other. And I always want to try be a people interactor. And in order to do that, I think you've got to do a couple of things, and we're going to explore that. So that's one inspiration behind what I want to share with you today. The other inspiration behind what I want to share with you today is a friend of mine, a mutual friend of mine and Emma's, actually a guy by the name of Jeff Bonham, who actually you could pray for, because he's literally 2 days ago just had a quadruple heart bypass. And Jeff's just a bit of a local legend in Bradford. He's quirky, he's kind, he's a beautiful man, really loves the Lord. And for a number of years, I was encouraged by the doctor to take some time out to do some stuff, to relax a little bit, because I was a little bit stressed. And so in order to relax, I decided I'd do something non-stressful. So I made a decision with Emma, because she was the chief funder in this, to restore a Type 2 VW camper van, 1972, tax exempt. You know, something non-stressful to do. And so I spent quite a bit of time down at Jeff Bonham's garage. He was a mechanic. This was largely due to the fact that the engine blew up, and so I couldn't really take it anywhere. And when I was down there, I spent quite a few days a week down there as just a kind of a relaxation thing. And I met this guy called Scott. Now, not that this matters a great deal other than for you to understand something. Scott was somebody who wasn't a Christian, wasn't interested in Christianity, would class himself as an atheist. But he really liked Jeff because they were like really good mates. And so I was having this bit of a conversation with Scott. And he said, do you know the thing about Jeff, Mark? He's a class one friend. I thought, that's interesting. I said to him, I want to be a class one friend. I want to be a class one friend. So I said to him, I want to be a class one friend. But tell me what is a class one friend? He said, well, a class one friend is somebody that if there's a storm at 3 o'clock in the morning and it blows the tiles off your roof, your class one friend would be the person that would come and help you in that situation. At 3 o'clock in the morning, they'd get out of their bed. That's what a class one friend is. And I thought for a little while. And I said to Scott, what's a class three friend? I don't want to be getting out of my bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, if you're talking like 9 o'clock for a class three, put me as a class three friend. But I was inspired about how Scott, and this is, again, just for the sake of you understanding, how Scott, who wasn't a Christian, was saying of somebody who is a Christian that he was a class one friend. And I was really inspired by that. And so bringing those two little strands together, I want us just to explore that a little bit this morning. And I want to introduce you to one of what I call my life passages. Anybody got some life passages? They're bits of the Bible that you've read. And sometimes you just get this crazy little phrase that kind of grabs you and pulls you in and you kind of explore it and then it gets in you. And if you haven't got any life passages from the Bible, read it. You'll probably get some, to be honest with you. And so I want to take you to I've probably got about 6 life passages that have had quite an impact on me as to how I live my life. They're an inspiration. I'm not saying I managed to do it, but they are like inspirational. They are like what I'm working towards. And how many of you know that sometimes with these sorts of passages, sometimes you can be doing a bit better than other times when maybe you're not quite, you know, managing to do what the passages are telling you to do. So I'm going to let you into my life a little bit. Say, ooh, yeah, you're not that bothered, are you, quite frankly. So to help us to explore that, let's go to the best place to go for all matters of life and faith, and that's the Bible. And for those of you who are familiar with the Bible, you'll understand what I say when I say, let's turn to John chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. For those of you who are maybe not so familiar with the Bible, then you can just listen to me read these words. John chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given, and my iPad's frozen, to his son Joseph. The iPad is unfrozen. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the 6th hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have given him living water, or he would have given you living water." So let's just have a little dive. Come with me and have a little explore. I've got three things because it's a sermon. So you've got to have three things. So the first thing I want to just share with you is be real. Not the social media platform, but be real. Be normal. I read this story a few years ago, and I think it's true. I don't know whether it's true, but I really want it to be true. And it was of a young couple who had dreamed for many, many years of owning a house in a certain part of town. And one particular day, one of them got promotion, the story says, and they were able to get a bit bigger mortgage, and they were able to get the house in the area of town they'd wanted for a long time. And so came the day they eventually moved over there, moved into the area and began to kind of live in the area. And then they were invited to a dinner party. They'd never been to a dinner party before. I mean, sure, they'd been round to somebody's house for a bite to eat, but this was a dinner party. And they had never, ever been to one of those before. They were very, very excited. The story says that the lady went out and bought a new dress, and the husband, he just wore what he always wore, quite frankly. And they rocked up. And then, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, have you ever found yourself in a situation where everybody around you seems to understand what's going on, but not you? Some of you are probably thinking, yes, right now as you're speaking. Some of you nodded, that's concerning. And the conversation ebbed and flowed and flowed and ebbed. And they were remaining quite quiet because they didn't really understand the conversation. And I'm sorry, but this is how the story is told. Well, the lady got some confidence and she felt she wanted to get involved. And the conversation went to talk about Mozart. You know Mozart, the classical music composer. The conversation went on to that. Well, she got really bold as people began to say, oh, Mozart this and Mozart that and Mozart the other. And you have a decision to make in those moments. Do you join in the conversation and potentially revealing your ignorance? Or do you stay away from the conversation? Well, she joined in with the conversation. Mozart, oh, what a lovely fella. Do you know, I saw him just the other day on the number 8 bus to Leicester Square. Well, the room went silent. The husband looked at the wife and gave what I call the spousal glare. Have you ever been the deliverer / recipient of the spousal glare? It normally goes like this. That means, what have you done? Come on, we're going. The tires on the car screeched, the door slammed. They arrived back at their own home. He walked in, she looked at him. What? Mozart? You saw him just the other day on the number 8 bus to Leicester Square? Everybody knows the number 8 bus doesn't go to Leicester Square. Put your hands up if you think that's a true story. You cynical people. Put your hands up if you think it's not a true story. Put your hands up if you're not sure. Put your hands up if you're not bothered. Okay. A lot of people not bothered this morning. That's worrying. I love that story. And I love it for all sorts of reasons. I don't know whether it's 100% true. I don't know whether there's any truth in it whatsoever. But what I do love about it, it's a reminder, isn't it, that wherever we find ourselves, or wherever we find ourselves, particularly as maybe we're beginning to step into this story of God, that we need to be true to who we are. We need to be real, don't we? We use the word authentic a lot, but it's become a bit of a buzzword. But I do believe we need to be authentic. We need to be true to who we are and not feel we've got to become somebody, to reach somebody or some group, but just take the genuineness of who we are wherever we go and be true to ourselves. I think it's so, so important. And I've always tried to be who I am. I'm not saying that I do that all the time, that there aren't times when I maybe hold back or hide some stuff. But I do try to be true to who I am. And I love the fact that in this passage, we see a great example. I mean, just picture this for the moment. This is God in the flesh, Jesus, walking around. And he sees this place and he's thinking, I want a drink. And he doesn't sort of float along like a foot off the ground, look at the well and make water supernaturally come out. Does he? Don't do that. He probably could, to be fair, but he don't do that. It just stays real. And in fact, he goes up to somebody. He says, will you give us a drink? Will you give us a drink? And I love it because so often as followers of Jesus particularly, and with this notion of stepping into God's story and that invitation, it can sometimes feel like, oh, this is something else I've got to do. But I love the fact that before Jesus did anything for this lady, he said to her, you couldn't do us something, could you? I need a drink of water. We know that he was hungry because it lets us know the disciples had gone to buy food. We know that he was tired because it actually says Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down. Do you ever feel that? When you're just tired from the journey of life, you just sometimes need a sit down. Yesterday, I did some manual labor. It's hardcore manual. It involved holding plasterboards. And even Matt acknowledges, a manual labor type person, that holding plasterboards is hard work. Thank you for supporting me in that this morning. I really appreciate it. It's not easy, and I was on my knees, and my knees are dodgy, and I'm up and down, and then I had to sweep up, and I'm doing yoga, sweeping up, and I sat down, and it felt nice. Do you ever sit down? I think the older I get, I sit down with noises, and get up with noises. I become acutely aware there's an awful lot of audio support in my life right now. Like, you sit down, you go, oh, and then you get up and it's like, oh. Anybody else with me on that? A few of us. For the rest of you, something for you to look forward to in life. It really, really is. So I get that, tired as he was from the journey. And I think even with the notion of like stepping into God's story, there's something in our heart that goes, yeah, but you're tired from the journey of life. Anybody ever feel a bit like that? I didn't know what I was going to share, but when we were worshiping, I just felt, you know, like, John doesn't do this, thankfully, but have you ever been in, and none of our worship leaders do this, I don't think, but, and if you do, stop it. Have you ever been in a service where you've sort of, the worship leader bounces on and stands up with the guitar and basically tells you all off? Have you ever done that? And they say, come on, bring a sacrifice of praise. And you want to smack them, quite frankly, don't you? You want to give them the right hand of fellowship, introduce them to the fivefold ministry, don't you? Because it's like, can I just tell you, and I just really felt, and it may be for one person or a few people, I want to say to you, the fact that you're here this morning is your sacrifice of praise. The fact that you've come, when you didn't want to come, that is your sacrifice of praise. Sure, you're not raising your hands. Sure, you're not singing with some vociferous activity. But the fact that you're here is a sacrifice of praise. And I just want to share that with you at this point. It felt accelerated again in my heart to share it with you. Just, yeah, don't feel under pressure. The fact you're here is your sacrifice of praise. And similarly here, what I love about this, and I think there's a real lesson to learn here, because whenever you talk about stepping into God's story or the mission of God or sharing your faith, it can feel a bit pressurized. And my hope is that we're never pressurized to do that. But what I find intriguing here is Jesus just being normal, being like a human being, being tired from the journey of that he's been on, and sitting down. Oh, I don't know whether he did that or not. Oh, I'd love it if when he just sat down, he did that. Tired, hungry, thirsty. Can you give me a drink? Before he did anything for this lady, he said, can you do something for me? And I think there's a real lesson in life there, because as followers of Jesus, and I've battled with this, I always feel like I've got to be the one that does stuff for people. Do you? And actually, that's just the stuff for burnout, isn't it? And stepping into God's story is not about burning out. If we burn out, we've not stepped into God's story. Because actually, I think what we see here is Jesus tired, hungry, thirsty. And yet, in this moment, he has the most significant conversation with one person that you'll ever find. Certainly, that's recorded in the New Testament. There may be other instances that aren't recorded. But certainly in terms of what's recorded, this is an incredible moment. And without racing ahead massively, you know that because of this moment, many, many Samaritans believe, because of a direct result of this moment. Will you give me a drink? So that's the first thing I want us to just reflect on this morning. The second thing I want to reflect on in terms of being class one friends and in terms of stepping into God's story is to be present. Did you know? You didn't. I'll tell you then. You can become a card-carrying member of the National Prune Juice Association. Did you know that? Do you know how often they meet? Yay! Well done. Thanks, John. Brilliant, mate. Superb. There's not always somebody, but you never let me down. Did you flick that through in the notes? Okay. Did you know, I love this, the Barbed Wire Collector magazine. You heard that right. The Barbed Wire Collector magazine is published in Texas every month in America. Anybody from America here today? We safe? No. Okay. And each company manufacturing barbed wire throughout the world makes each type to its own unique design. For those of you who may not know what barbed wire is, I'm going to give you permission to go on Google right now as we speak. Go barbed wire on Google and tap images. Okay. Never do that if you're Googling an ailment. That's really dangerous. But if you're just simply Googling barbed wire, B-A-R-B-E-D, wire, have a little look, because I realise we've got different nations represented, so some of you may not have had the privilege of knowing what barbed wire is. And each company manufacturing barbed wire throughout the world makes each type to its own unique design. And, ready for this, wire enthusiasts, they have a name. Wire enthusiasts avidly wait for new types of wire to come onto the market. The magazine has a section called Fence Facts. Listen to this. And married couples are invited to send a photograph of themselves for a feature called The Prickly Pear of the Month. How good is that? Barbed wire. I love it. Listen to this one. The Pillarbox Study Group, Postboxes Study Group, meet regularly in Birmingham to talk of the latest news in postboxes in the UK and around the world. Founder member Ron Hall is famed for his survey of postboxes. Guess where? In Leamington Spa. Who knew? I mean, I've been to Leamington. It's very pleasant. I've not once felt the need to look at postboxes, have you? Where have I got these nuggets of information from, I hear you asking. Now, some of you won't know this, because of age or because maybe you weren't living in the UK when this particular program aired. But for those of you who were, who remembers the Big Breakfast? Anybody remember the Big Breakfast? It was like the early stages when like breakfast TV. That's right. We never used to have breakfast TV when TV in the UK closed at a certain time. And then all of a sudden you got breakfast TV. And the Big Breakfast was this kind of fast-paced, fun, slightly bonkers show. It was absolutely brilliant. And it was, in my humble opinion, at its peak when it was hosted by Denise Van Outen and Johnny Vaughan. Remember those? And they had this feature called Join Me Club. And that's where these came from. And they had somebody every week that had this club. And sometimes it was clubs you might be aware of. Other times it was like spurious clubs or clubs that you wouldn't be aware of. And when I was watching those, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder why. Some of them I did go, I wonder why. But then I thought to myself, isn't it interesting that I think as human beings, we need to have connection, don't we? We need to have community. We need to have something that we're a part of that we can identify with, that maybe we can gather under. And I think even introverts need people. You just need them for less time. And you don't really want to know about the weather. Am I right? You want to go a little bit deeper. Maybe rather than saying, oh, it's sunny this week, maybe have a conversation about what causes the sun to shine, possibly. You want to go a bit deeper, but we need people. And I love the fact that in verse 4 in our reading, the reason all this happened with the Samaritan woman is, yes, because Jesus was being normal, but actually he was being present. Verse 4, Jesus, tired as he was, sat down. There's the key. He sat down. And it's really interesting. If you follow the story through, it says that many Samaritans, in verse 29, many Samaritans believed because this woman's testimony. She said, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Now, I've had a look at it. He didn't. If you look at it, he really didn't tell her everything she'd done. But yet, what he did say seemed to be meaningful. And I think, I've got no actual evidence to back this up, but I think what's happening here, and you can have a little disagree with this, or you can have a little chat about it, but I think what's happening here is Jesus moving in the very natural, but he's also moving in the very supernatural at the same time, that in the normal and in the beyond the normal way. And I love that. I don't want this kind of freaky faith that's just, I got a little bit intense when I'm doing the spiritual stuff. And I think Jesus just in his natural, and then he's having this conversation. He's tired. He's hungry. He's thirsty. I mean, he hadn't even got a drink of water yet. Do you think, oh, I wish those lads had already been back with this food. I'm absolutely starving. Could do with the kip. And I love it, just in this weakness, has this amazing conversation because he's present. And when you go on to see, as I say, come and meet man who told me think everything I ever did, it says many Samaritans believe because of this woman's testimony. But then they say, these Samaritans say to Jesus, Jesus, could you hang around for a couple of days? Because we've got some questions. We've got some stuff we want to chat to you about. And Jesus did. He hung around. But we know that he was clearly on his way to somewhere, but he hung around. And I think it's so important, isn't it, that we don't get so caught up on the this is where we want to be. And that's why I love it. The Great Commission that says, therefore go. That therefore go is not that helpful, actually. If we want to be more accurate in terms of communicating what the original language of the Bible talks about in the therefore go, it actually says, so wherever you go. And I prefer that. Just wherever you are. Not this kind of, right, go in there. Just wherever you are. And I think sometimes the thought of stepping into the mission of God, sometimes, like, you know, stepping into God's invitation, sometimes I think it can feel a bit intense. But actually, you're kind of already in it. So just be in it. But just be normal and create some space and some margin. I actually started having John 4 mornings because I realized my life had got too crazy. And sometimes you've got to fight those back because I lose track of it, if I'm really, really honest. But as I said, these are principles I'm trying to live to, not that I always do. And I love the fact that Jesus wasn't like, I've got to be there. Did you notice that Jesus was never in a rush? It's interesting, isn't it? You never see him running. In fact, the only time we ever see as an example of God running in the Bible is with the prodigal son. The rest of the time, he's just going around. He spent some time with them. And then they said, the Samaritans, we no longer believe just because of what you have told us. We now believe for ourselves, because we have seen for ourselves, this man really is the savior of the world. And what's intriguing about that is the lady went to the Samaritans and said, could this be the Messiah, i.e. the savior of the Jews? But they've said, we now know for ourselves that this man really is not just the savior of the Jews, but the savior of the whole world. It's like she went with her limited bit of knowledge, but she invited them on a journey, not to church, not to Christianity, but just to meet with Jesus. And part of stepping in, if I can change the focus of the person in the story just for a few moments and look at the lesson we can learn from the woman at the well, who's like, she's very new to all of this. She's like, she's not really that sure, is she? Could this be, it's what I call a healthy maybe. Could this be? I'm not sure. Is it possible that this man is? She's not fully sure. She's exploring herself and she invites them onto a journey, which I absolutely love, that in her limited knowledge, she invites somebody to explore who Jesus is, which I just think is fantastic. I made a little decision. I love my iPhone. I like gadgets, I like tech. And I used to have an Apple Watch, but I got rid of that. All the notifications, isn't it? And I made a decision, and again, I'm doing quite well with this one, that if I'm in a meeting with somebody, then unless it's family, I won't answer the phone. And sometimes I can't answer the phone, whoever it is, but if I'm meeting John and somebody else rings me up, I'm not going to answer it. I'll look to see whether it's family. And if I can answer, I will do then. But if it's somebody else, I'm not. And even though John might say, oh, go and take it, because it's like his life's busy, my life's busy, and trying to find a spot in our diaries where we can meet up, it's a bit of a juggling act. And it's like that because my life's full, and it's probably the same for you. And so I want to make sure that when I am with John, I'm present, not just spending 25 minutes of the hour that we've got together, 25 minutes with somebody else. So I'm trying to do things to be present. I'm enjoying nature a little bit more recently. We got two dogs in April. We set out to get one dog, but we ended up with two. And I'd said to the family, be strong, because when they look at you with those eyes, we're only having the one. Was it 30 seconds in? I said, we need to get both of them. I think that's what it was. But I do struggle a little bit with this, but I am contending for trying to be present, because it's in those moments when you have really nice conversations with people. So please, when it thinks about the invitation to step into God's big story, don't leave here sharking for non-Christians. Just go and do the wherever. Be who you are. Don't hide your faith, but don't ram it down people's throats. Like, don't be embarrassed about being a follower of Jesus. But don't, like, any minute you get a conversation. That little scripture that says make the most in every opportunity doesn't mean say the most in every opportunity. It just means in that moment. But in those moments, you might well find just some conversations, some faith conversations take place. So, first thing, be normal, be real. Second thing is to be present. And then the third thing, and with this point, I bring my talk to a conclusion. And then I've got something free for you to take away / give away. Okay? So the third thing is be caring. I love Staples. What is Staples? I hear you asking. Well, Staples, I'm not referring to those metal things that fasten things to walls, though they have their uses. I'm referring to an ancient shop now, because I don't even know if it's still online anymore. I don't know. But some of you will know Staples, the office superstore. Have we got any Staples fans here? Have we got any stationery fans here? Oh, now we're talking. It's the most enthusiastic you've been all service, that. Start the praise again. That's what I say. Oh, now we're talking back. I love it. I absolutely love it. And it doesn't exist now. Somebody can check out online this morning, Google it to see whether it's still around. But Staples, I mean, there was Office Depot, but nah. They were rubbish. Staples, however, particularly when I lived in Huddersfield, because I love stationery. I think my best buy was a leather-bound post-it note holder. Stitching was immense on it. Okay, are you checking to see whether it's still there, John? I love that. Okay. And I would regularly, almost weekly, I'd just drop in the one in Huddersfield and have a little look round. And in fact, whenever I went to a different city or town, I'd see whether they had the Staples there. And I'd have a little walk around there as well. The pens aisle particularly grabbed me. Now, many of you think, well, surely they're all the same. But they're not. Now, I've just realised I'm beginning to sound like one of the clubs that I talked about. So I'm just going to move on and rescue this moment. I tell you this story because one particular day when we lived in Huddersfield, I walked in and there was this guy. He'd only been there about 3 months. And I can't remember his name because it's so long ago, but let's say it was Dave. And Dave was, he was a lovely guy. He was very quiet, painfully shy in lots of ways. But because he just started, they put him on as the greeter. You know, the person that welcomes you as you come into the store. And actually, he did a really good job of that. Because he knew what he was supposed to do. He was smiley, he was happy, he welcomed people in. And then this one particular day, I walked in and he didn't look happy. Now, I've learned a couple of things in life. When you meet somebody who's looking a bit miserable, never say to them, cheer up, it won't happen. Because it probably just has. Okay, so that's one lesson I've learned through bitter experience. So I walked and I said, Dave, you're all right, mate. You don't look your usual self. He said to me, Mark, we were on first name terms, okay. He said, Mark, you know, like I'm fairly new to Huddersfield. I said, yeah, I do. He said, well, basically, so he was in one of these like bed sits, flats type things, and it was a rather unscrupulous landlord. And he just got a message from the landlord like the day before to say to him, you're going to have to leave. It was about a Thursday. You're going to have to leave by the weekend. And it was a Thursday that it arrived. It was now Friday. And he was very, very new to Huddersfield. So he hadn't got connections because he was shy. I said to him, look, Dave, I can't invite you into my home. I've got a few people that I know I've got a spare room, so I'll ask them to see whether they could help. But I said, you know, I'm a Christian, and what I will definitely commit to doing is praying. Now, here's the second lesson I've learned. If ever you offer to pray for somebody, do it straight away. not like in Staples, not like that, but like I went into my car and I prayed straight away. Because have you ever promised to pray for somebody and then forgotten? And then they see you and they come up to you and go, oh, your prayers? Oh, your prayers? And you're doing that thing where you're going, oh, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. And it was the Lord because you did nothing, okay? You completely forgot. So I went out and I prayed like straight away in the car. And then I went on with the rest of my day. The following week, because it was a weekly visit, the following week I was back in and I walked in and there's Dave, big smile. I went, Dave, you're looking happy today. He went, did you pray, Mark? I said, I did. He said, you are not going to believe this. I said, I might. Try me. He said, what time did you pray? I said, it'd probably be about 12 o'clock, something like that. He said, this is mad. At about 1 o'clock, I got a message from my landlord saying, hey, Dave, I know I've messed you about. I'm really sorry about this, but situations have changed. I wonder whether you could stay in. I am going to have to ask you to leave in 3 months' time, but I wonder whether you could stay in the flat because nobody's coming. It was a family situation that he needed the flat for. He said, I'm worried about it being empty and getting vandalised. Is there any way that you could just stay in it? And just to show my appreciation for messing you about, I'll give it you rent free for 3 months.
It's my prayer. It's my prayer.
This is what I've discovered. Whenever you talk about caring, there are simple acts that we can do that aren't demanding, that aren't tiring, that don't drain us. And actually, even simple things like I've discovered, now don't do this all the time, please. I'm not this shining light of an example of somebody who gets this right all the time. But what I have discovered, even things like just saying to people, look, I'm going to pray for you about that. Sometimes people are quite touched. Well, you can pray for me. Yeah, I'll pray for you. And sometimes there are some small actions. And I do get that we shouldn't just pray, but we should act wherever we can. But I think sometimes we can almost do that and negate how good the prayer bit is. And I think it's both and, isn't it? If I can pray and I can do something to help in this situation. Now, we can't always do both, but we can always pray. And so be caring. Be caring enough to pray. And if you can do something. And this is what I love. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Wonder how she felt. Because she was there to draw water at that time of a day, separate from Jews, and obviously with no men around because, unfortunately, culturally in that day and in that moment, I want to see how long this race goes on. You do know that doing that doesn't mean we can't see you. I do thank you for your attempt, but we all can see. Never like to draw attention to distractions, do you? But in that moment, like, I wonder how she felt. Oh, no, it's this man, this Jewish man. No, he's coming towards me. Oh, what am I going to do? Am I going to kind of try and avoid the situation? Am I trying to get away from it? Hopefully we don't lock eyes. Oh, no, he's coming towards me. This is not good. He's going to talk to me. He's going to talk to me. This is not good. He's asking me to do something for him? Isn't it crazy that actually the fact that Jesus asked her to do something for him was actually the biggest act of caring that could take place in that moment. I just think that's a beautiful thing. Sometimes allowing people to help us is actually a caring moment. It's so, so important. So, so important. My time's almost gone. So we begin to about being class one friends. We begin to think about this invitation to realize we're part of God's big story. Let's be real with each other here in church as well, and authentic. I loved what John said when he said the bottle lid's going to come off and it might be messy. We've got to create space, haven't we, for that to be true in here, so that when people who aren't part of church come in that they see that. So let's be real, be normal. Let's be present with each other. Let's stop letting these distract us. Be present in life and be caring. So here's a little thing. I've written a little leaflet, and there's no pressure on this. This is simply if you want to take one. There's 100 here of the leaflets. By law of averages, some will want to take it, some won't. So if you want to take a couple, that's absolutely fine. But it's a little leaflet that I've written. Some of you remember the word tracting back in the day. It's a little leaflet that I've written. Take it away. It's self-explanatory. It's a really practical, helpful tool to have faith conversations with somebody, whether you do it proactively because you're feeling brave, or whether you're just going to say, no, I'll take one so it's there if ever I need it. So there's no pressure here. I'm not going to say too much about it just because time's gone, but it actually explains itself in the leaflet. But maybe you might want to say, do you know what? I'm going to take one so that when. It's the so that when, not so I've got to. It's so that when I find myself in a conversation with somebody about the Lord, I've got something that I can take them through. And maybe just pray. I pray it probably 2-3 times a week. Lord, lead me to somebody that I can help on the faith journey. That's it. Along with, Lord, help me leave a little bit of you wherever I go. I mentioned that to you last time I was here. But Lord, just not to convert somebody, not to convince somebody, but Lord, lead me to somebody that I can just help on the faith journey. And then you've got something that you can just keep in your bag, keep in your car, so that if and when the Lord does do that, then you've got something that you can give away to people. And maybe that might begin a journey for them and you as we step in, or rather sit in God's story and see him use us. Shall we pray? And then I'll hand back over to John. Jesus, thank you that the greatest example of a class one friend is you. And we learn so much just by taking some time to watch and observe how you did it. Lord, help us to be real, be true to who we are. Help us to be present. Help us to be caring. And may, Lord, we do that here in Oasis as a community of believers. And maybe do that also, not maybe, but do that also in the world that we find ourselves living in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, folks.
Thanks so much, Mark. Let's stand together. We're going to draw things to a close. And just as we do,